Marco versus Southwest Airlines. Mr. Frank.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Theodore H. Frank for Objector Appellant Greg Marco. This Court has repeatedly stated in Eubank, in Vollmer, in TransUnion, the background legal rule that an objector who materially improves the welfare of the class is entitled to attorney's fees. And in this case, Greg Marco's objection resulted in a tripling of class relief, a result that this Court had previously said would be hard to imagine. Marco made a very modest request for fees of less than 10% of the marginal benefit to the class, less than 5% of the total attorney's fees, and less than his attorney's lodestar. And this was denied on the theory that Marco had waived his rights to seek fees.
Why didn't he do it earlier? Why was that? It seemed to me that after all this going through, he kind of came in at the last minute and decided that he wanted that. Talking about waiver, you talked about it. Seemed that he did wait a long time before he decided to ask for these fees.
He waited within the Rule 54D deadline under the Northern District of Illinois local rules. And if you look at the tentative agreement, that's at page 109 of the appendix, it anticipates that there's going to be notice to the class, that there's going to be more to schedule, that there's going to be more to discuss, and none of that happened. On January 25th, the court held a hearing and said, it's impossible for there to be any legitimate objections to this, so we don't need notice, and I'm going to issue an order approving everything. And that order said, class counsel may now make a fee request. There was never a schedule for a fee request. A fee request was never made. And we said, well, what do we do now? And the rules say, well, within 91 days, you can make a request for fees. And that's what we did.
Mr. Frank, could I ask you for just an update on where things stand? Frankly, I thought this case was over 3 years ago. What is the current status of the vouchers and the cash available for counsel?
My understanding was that the court ordered the vouchers distributed on January 31st of 2017, and I don't
have any, they been distributed?
I don't have any reason to think that they haven't been,
okay.
But there's never a report to the court one way or the other on that.
Any distribution of cash to counsel?
I assume there was, but again, that's not in the record.
Okay. Okay, as I understand the problem that Judge Cannelli was presented with for this appeal, the original supplemental fee request by class counsel was going to take the total fee back up close to the $3 million, right?
That's correct.
You ultimately agreed to dismiss your second appeal with an acknowledgement that $220,000 or so could go to class counsel, right?
That the class counsel would reduce their request to $220,000.
I will just say that I'll just note that I'm a little disappointed that that appeal was dismissed. because I'll tell you, I would have voted to reverse, I think, any supplemental appeal fee award, given where we were after the 2015 decision. But you made that call. The problem, as I see it, though, is now we've got that settlement agreement that says class counsel will receive $220,000 and change. You agreed to that. And now you seem to be seeking a result that would differ from that.
Well, class counsel would receive that and then...
And turn it around and give $80,000 to you.
If we would be legally entitled to that, and the agreement was silent on the question of objector's fees, we never had an opportunity to formalize the agreement and put in, say, an integration clause so that nobody could claim that there were oral side agreements. But the background legal rule applies as a matter of black letter contract law when an agreement's silent on a question.
Given the rather astonishing tripling of availability of coupons, and given that the fee award that we approved and modified in 2015 turned out not to be final, it has occurred to me that perhaps this court should take the extraordinary step of recalling the mandate approving the settlement in the first place. What would be your reaction to that?
Well, we agreed to dismiss the appeal requesting that result. So I can't be the one to request it, but that's probably within the power of the court.
It would be extraordinary.
It would be extraordinary. But we have some.
And perhaps to go back to a coupons redeemed basis for the class counsel's fee award.
That would be up to the court.
Okay.
I'll reserve time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Frank. Ms. McLaughlin.
May it please the court. The background legal rule does not have any application here. It wasn't raised at all by Objector Marco below with respect to when Judge Cannelli was making these decisions. Now he says that Judge Cannelli should have known that somehow Objector Marco was going to have a right to come forward and make a motion for attorney's fees. In fact, what happened was once Objector Marco stepped forward, SIPA firm opposed his attorney's fee request on the ground that it had been waived because in the negotiations below, as Judge Hamilton just commented, Objector Marco had agreed that the SIPA firm would accept a $220,000 reduced supplemental fee award and that Objector Marco would drop his appeal, which he did. When that was argued below with respect to Judge Cannelli decided, so that there would be, you know, I guess no question about this, to have an evidentiary hearing. And he called in Mr. Siprit, he called in Mr. Frank, he called in Mr. K. Oliphant, who is Southwest counsel, and had each of them testify and ask them questions as to exactly what happened with the settlement so he could decide for himself to make a very clear record as to what happened. He then made a finding, made a decision, which he says and found, and I quote, and this is in A10 of the short appendix, in the settlement under which he dismissed his appeal, Marco agreed to a reduced fee award of $200,000 for class counsel. But now Marco is essentially asking for a reduction of that amount, specific in order that would take away part of it to pay Marco's counsel. The standard under which that decision is to be reviewed is an abuse of discretion. And I can't find anything in either of the objector's briefs or what I just heard where the objector pointed to an abuse of discretion by Judge Cannelli.
What was the basis for the for any supplemental fee award, given that we had been told the fee award was final and appealable as part of the cross appeal back in 2015, and we had modestly cut that fee award? I was frankly astonished to see that there was such a request, let alone its magnitude.
The basis for the supplemental fee award was that when Judge Cannelli granted the initial fee award, he denied any prospective time that would go forward on working on the appeals and subsequent settlement administration of the case. And so after the case was, the settlement was affirmed with some modifications where there was a reduction in the fee award and reduction in the incentive award, and it went back down, the separate firm went back in to try to
and
capture
asked for
that
how
additional
much?
Time.
Asked for how much?
I think approximately $1.7 million.
And that was for the work on the appeal?
That was for the work on the appeal and work toward a settlement administration. And then Judge Cannelli denied that and awarded approximately a third of the request. I guess it wasn't 1.7, it must have been 1.2. And awarded approximately a third of what was sought, which was
$440,000. It was basically going to chew up the rest of the $3 million cap, right?
It certainly was close, Your Honor. I can't disagree with the math there.
The chutzpah of that award, of that demand, is astonishing after what we decided in 2015. Now, if we leave that mandate from 2015 standing and either affirm or reverse the decision on the $80,000 request here, will this case be over? Will the fees be over?
If you affirm, the fees are certainly over. If you reverse,
there's no further argument for another supplemental fee award for this appeal.
From the separate firm? No, no. That
why
is
not?
Over.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, this is just, I guess I would consider this ancillary litigation at this point. That wasn't something contemplated in the initial fee award. In other words,
you're telling us there would be no further fee request from class counsel.
Correct.
If we affirm. And if we reverse and simply cut it back $80,000, in light of the fact that Mr. Frank's efforts do seem to have tripled the relief available to the class, anything further for the CIPRIT or class counsel to seek?
No, Your Honor.
And is there any doubt that Mr. Frank's and Mr. Marco's efforts were what led to the tripling of the offer of relief for the class?
Yes, there
Why?
Is. They have a temporal distinction.
Well, what did lead to this tripling, this astonishing tripling of the offer?
Yeah, I'm trying not to, I don't want to fudge it. I want to try to answer directly as I can. Originally what happened was, when Mr. Markow appealed, he proposed, or it was proposed, I don't recall which, I wasn't involved, there was a discussion in which the objector was going to walk away if CIPRIT would withdraw any claim for fees. So as long as CIPRIT got no more money at all, the objector was satisfied. The objector was not seeking any more relief for the class at that point in time. The CIPRIT firm was still trying to get the additional fees that Judge Cannelli had approved and went to Southwest and said, well, can you guys provide more vouchers? Because now you know what the answer is to how much you've had to provide. And Southwest's response was, we will do that, but you have to suffer some pain too, and you have to cut back your monetary amount to fund the coupons. In essence, the CIPRIT firm is buying those coupons. That's what the proposal was, and ultimately the objector agreed to dismiss his appeal in exchange for that benefit, which went to the class and the reduction in the fees of the CIPRIT firm.
Is it correct that the coupons have been distributed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Have any dollars changed hands as between counsel? Has class counsel been paid yet?
Yes, class counsel has been paid.
How much?
It would be the one, whatever the awards were, I guess one point, whatever the award was in the appeal that was ordered, which I guess would be the $1.7 million, and then the $227,000.
That has been paid.
That has been paid.
And is it correct that it was not until the supplemental fee award settlement that the district judge was told that the coupons claimed were only about one-third the amount that he had been earlier told?
That I'm not sure. I'll defer that to Southwest Council.
Okay. You have any thoughts on whether we should reopen the mandate?
My thought would ask you not to. I think we had finality achieved before. We thought the case was over as well.
So did I. And then CPRIT comes back in and asks for another $1.3 million in fees, which is what has produced this litigation over the last 3 years.
I don't want to quarrel with you about that, but I'm not sure that would have, if CPRIT firm had not sought additional fees, that the objection still wouldn't have been lodged because there were objections to the settlement as a whole again, this in the second time around, which got withdrawn. I can see my time is about up, so if you don't have any further questions.
Well, I don't want to drag this on, but I really am curious about you call them vouchers?
Yes.
Yeah. You got to use them. You got to get an airline ticket, then you got to get on the airline, then you got to use them.
Correct.
Now, do they ever expire?
That was what the entire case was about.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about now.
I think now there's a 2-year frame on them. I know they're transferable. I'm not sure about the expiration, because that's what people didn't have to begin with. So they were given.
And so one's worth what, about $5?
It's a $5 drink coupon. There's since they're tradable in the market, at one point there was a market value of $3. You could buy them on eBay.
Yeah. And then you got to get on an airplane and order a drink.
Yes, but that's what the customers had before. In order to use them, they'd have to get on an airplane and order a drink.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. K. Oliphant.
May it please the court, Eli K. Oliphant of Massey & Gale, representing Southwest Airlines. Approval of the original settlement was affirmed by this court, as you noted, Judge Hamilton, in August 2015, in an opinion where this court stated that the class got essentially everything they could have hoped for. Years later,
turns out that wasn't quite right, wasn't it?
Well, it turns out
you all were willing to triple the offer.
We were willing to triple the offer in order to end the long sequence of litigation. Like you, Your Honor, we were hoping that the case would conclude in August 2015, as it had been going on for 4 years at that time. And so, therefore, when subsequent objections by Markow continued to drag us along and required us to continue to spend what we thought was unnecessary attorney fees, we were willing to give additional compensation to the class just in order to end it. And yet, here we are again. So, you're correct.
Could you help me with the math there? What was your assessment of why the amount was what you, I guess, agreed to request up to $3 million?
I'm sorry, but I don't completely understand.
You said that you decided to increase the offer to end the litigation?
Correct.
What did you see ahead in litigation?
So, Judge Flom, the original settlement agreement provided for attorney's fees up to a cap of potentially $3 million.
Right.
And what had been ordered to be paid to CPRIT was much less than that, 1.6 or something
right.
to that effect. So at the point that the subsequent appeal number 2 by Markow, was pending before this court, there was also a request by CPRIT, as Judge Hamilton, you recognized, subsequent to the August 2015 ruling by this court, for much more fees, up to the $3 million. So Southwest was willing to create a modification to the settlement to give additional compensation to the class so long as CPRIT would take less so that we could end the litigation. That was the math. I can't tell you the exact numbers off the top of my head.
No, I'm not asking for the exact.
But that was the calculus, if that's what you were asking. I have extremely limited time because we only reserved 2 minutes. The reason for that was that obviously Markow cannot request additional fees from Southwest because that would violate the original settlement agreement, which had a no further payment provision for Southwest. I would argue that Markow's current request for fees is in violation of the original settlement agreement, because the original settlement agreement did not provide for fees for the objector, and it also had a waiver clause that said that if Markow did not raise that objection back then, he could not bring his fee request now. And we know that he could have objected because he objected to that settlement agreement back then on other grounds.
Counsel, could you address this problem? When a district court is looking at a settlement, one of the most important features tends to be claims made, right?
I take the point.
And Southwest had exaggerated by a factor of 3 the actual number of claims made for coupons available, is that right?
So, Your Honor, with respect, I would take only issue with the word exaggerated. It was a mistake by the claims administrator who had included...
By a factor of 3?
Yes, there was one entry...
So you don't like exaggerated, but it...
It was overstated.
Overstated.
Yes.
Is not exaggerated, but overstated by a factor of 3.
Yes.
That's extraordinary. How long did it take for that to come to the district court's attention?
So that came to the district court's attention when I came into the case and started the process of trying to provide notice to the class for purposes of paying out the vouchers. We did an investigation of where all the vouchers were going to go, and we and the claims administrator and my firm identified this test entry that was in the spreadsheet that the claims administrator had relied upon when he made the prior affidavit to the court back in 2000, and I think it was 13.
Saying there had been 500,000 claims, right?
Saying that there had been, my remembrance is, 507,000 or something to that effect. Somewhere close to that number, yes. There was a test entry for 342,342 that had inadvertently been left into the spreadsheet when the claims administrator had reported out as to the number of total requested vouchers. So when it came time to give notice to the class and start to prepare to actually send the vouchers out, which we anticipated doing almost 2 years ago, we identified the problem at that time, and we immediately brought it to the district court's attention, which was at the time of the settlement modification.
So the actual benefit to the class here is 1/3 of what everybody had thought it was.
Yes, only except that the benefit to the class was 1/3 in terms of number of vouchers claimed, but then it's 3 times the amount that they originally requested. So the settlement modification multiplies by 3 a number that was divided by 3, if that makes any sense, or almost divided by 3. It's not perfect math.
So they get vouchers.
Excuse me?
Vouchers. This is just baffling to me.
Yes. Well.
What else are you going to do, I guess?
7 years talking about vouchers.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Frank.
Thank you. The disclosure to the court about the incorrect original disclosure was made January 20th, 2017. That's at page 115 of the record. The district court's original settlement approval did not know how many claims were made. The parties did not disclose that until we filed our opening brief in the first appeal. The evidentiary hearing with respect to the fee request, that only came about because CPRIT claimed, one, Marco had nothing to do with the settlement improvement, and claimed, two, Marco had made a separate oral agreement not to seek fees. The district court rejected the second contention. That's at page 9 of his opinion. There is no factual dispute here. The only factual dispute is the legal consequences of what was agreed to. And we identified the error at pages 22 to 27 of our opening brief, and again at page 2 of our reply brief, when they said there's no abuse of discretion here. And we said, yes, there is. There is a legal error, and a legal error is by definition an abuse of discretion. In response to your earlier question to opposing parties, the vouchers expire after 1 year, so they should have expired by now.
Mr. Frank, one of the concerns I have about your argument is that it would seem to make it very difficult to reach a definitive final settlement in class action cases. If what would it take in a settlement agreement to foreclose, as you see it, further fee requests by objectors or by class counsel?
Well, I don't think class counsel could have made the supplemental fee request, and that's why we brought the second appeal. They were claiming we didn't have standing to raise that, which was one reason we settled. It wasn't clear that we did have standing to raise it, and the way we sought to have standing was to undo the entire settlement under Rule 60. But this court's Rule 60 jurisprudence is
challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for a reason, but okay. Mm-hmm.
And we had a district court that was very unhappy with us. At one point on page 64 of the appendix, it suggests that the objector should be paying $1 million in attorney's fees. So we were eager not to have to continue to litigate this. In terms of what would end it with respect to objectors, just as we did not have a clause in the settlement agreement saying we would be seeking attorney's fees, they did not have a clause in there saying we could not seek attorney's fees. Both sides left it silent and did not address it. That's what the court found at page 9. And the consequence of that, as a matter of law, is that the background legal rule applies. Obviously, in the future, parties should do more to clear up whether there would be a future fee request. Happy to answer any other questions the court might have.
Thank you, Mr. Frank.
Thank you.
Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will proceed.